Koji is a venture capital firm cultivating community. This podcast is dedicated to cultivating conversations. Web 3.0 is democratizing the internet, and Koji Conversations is here to democratize access to the founders, investors, and creators building it from the ground up. Xavier is the founder of Prepio, a decentralized pre-IPO and pre-token trading platform looking to democratize pre-public equity. In this conversation with Xavier, we touch on his gaming development background and the takeaways from that experience that he's used and implemented for founding Prepio. We also dive into the Prepio architectural design, talking about the product, the specs, what it means for retail investors, as well as touching on some of the components when it comes to governance, his ideas for the future, and the inclusion of NFTs. So without further ado, here's the conversation with Zave. Zave, thanks so much for coming to High Definition. It's a pleasure to have you here. Obviously, Koji Capital, I made an investment in Prepio, so it's always great to circle back and speak with you. For the community that you're building, maybe it's a good idea just to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, guys. It's an honor to be here. A little bit about myself. I got into crypto around 2013. I was really interested in Bitcoin and also a lot of like the altcoins like Dogecoin and a lot of other crappy ones that aren't around today. Also noticed like I looked back on all the exchanges I used to trade on, and most of them turned out to be exit scams. So they're not even here anymore. And then a bit later, around 2016, 2017, I was living in Korea doing some like software internships there. And I was like making all these experimental video games and hosting game jams. And around that time, I came across this hackathon in Korea, which was a blockchain game jam. And this was hosted by Loom Network. So I was already using Crypto Zombies, which is like this educational mm-hmm. course for Solidity. And yeah, through their newsletter, they said they had a hackathon in Korea, and I was in Korea, so I thought I'd check it out. And through that, yeah, I got really interested in developing, you know, blockchain products. I thought maybe I can pursue this full-time instead of game development, because full-time game development wasn't really working out for me at the time. So when I came back to Australia, I started looking for a job, and I came across this Web3 studio called FlexDApps in Melbourne. And they've been behind some really great projects that have come out of Australia. The first job I got was through FlexDApps. So I was working on the really, really early stage smart contracts for MStable. In 2019, I started working at Canva and had a really great time there, really learned a lot about software engineering, best practices, and all of that. And mm-hmm. I really believed that Canva was like going to do really, really well in the future. So I wanted more equity. But there wasn't any way for me to get additional exposure to Canva. I also noticed that there were all these other IPOs going off that I didn't have access to. I really wanted to get early access to these opportunities. I knew they were going to do well, but there was no way for me to get access as a retail investor. And I noticed this was a problem that all my colleagues, my friends, and my family were facing as well. So I was following the DeFi space for quite some time, and I thought there must be a way in DeFi to allow people to get exposure to these pre-IPO opportunities. So I started thinking about it, and eventually I came up with Prepio.
Prior to doing that, I guess, jumping back for a moment, In the gaming industry, I guess we spoke to Joey Krug recently, and his account of game developers is that they're used to extraordinarily poor conditions. And I guess, is that true, or was that your experience?
Well, yeah, I did something even more crazy. I was like trying to do it as a full-time startup on my own. Damn. Yeah, so I was trying to collaborate with all these people around the world, but like not as part of a game company. So mm-hmm. I found out through that experience that it's pretty much impossible to make experimental games, which are like the least accessible games possible, and also make money. So I gave up on that idea as a business. I'd like to pursue it sometime as an interest, but I don't think it's very profitable. I actually ran out of money in Korea, so that's why I had to come back to Australia.
Gotcha. And then did that sort of prepare you for building and becoming a founder for Prepio? That's something that Joey Krug touched on. It's game developers are always some of the best hires that you can make for Solidity development and front-end development, just simply because they're so used to extreme conditions that when they become founders and lead CTOs, for example, it's actually less pressure than what they were used to in the gaming industry. So is that something that you found?
Yeah, for sure. I pretty much like work every day and I'm used to that. So I guess, yeah, that's continued.
Cool. And let's talk a little bit about Prepio then. So you found this problem space and you are now seeking to sort of disrupt it with Prepio. So I guess what's the vision piece for Prepio and a brief description of the product?
Yeah, so basically the mission of Prepio is to democratize pre-public equity. So we want to make accessible what was previously an exclusive opportunity for very rich and well-connected individuals. So basically it allows anyone, anywhere to get access to pre-IPO or pre-token opportunities and speculate on them until they go public.
Gotcha. I like that a lot. And I mean, when you compare it with the current industry, if you don't have something like that, I mean, Dave, you're probably the best to speak on this. Like what's the current setting without having a product like Prepio, if you're a retail investor wanting to get access to these sort of early stage deals?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're in venture capital, so we're in the business of, you know, finding companies early and investing in them. And frankly, I mean, our position on this has been, in the long run, it doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense for that to always be the case. And you know, these large VCs and sort of specialized firms being the only ones to gain access to the private capital markets, when in fact a far more, you know, there's a very clear role for the users of a product to be on the cap table of the company that builds a product. So I guess, how did you initially sort of, I guess your initial brush with this problem was very visceral. You wanted to get exposure to your company via equity in a more, I guess, outsized position. Maybe frame some of the options that might face people in the private markets these days, and what are the barriers to entry?
Yeah, so as a retail investor, you pretty much have no entry point into most opportunities. So even at IPO time, you're going to have to be in some kind of lottery system to even get access to their IPO, if at all. But that's only at IPO time. The biggest opportunities are well before the IPO. And for retail investors, that's pretty much it's pretty much impossible to get access to those opportunities, which is where the biggest gains are to be had.
Mm. And there's a big difference, I guess, between what you're building and, for example, an equity crowdfunding platform. So explain, I guess, the difference in, or your reasoning behind wanting a vehicle just to speculate rather than sort of owning actual shares in the company.
Right. Well, firstly, owning actual shares, there's a limited number of shares. So by nature, there's a limited number of people who can have access to that opportunity. Whereas if we allow for speculation on this opportunity, then we can have unlimited number of participants in the upside or downside of this opportunity.
Cool. That makes sense. And like on the blockchain as well, how are you getting these, I guess, these price feeds of these like pre-IPO companies for people to speculate on? Are they sort of predictive markets or more so markets guided by like oracles and whatnot?
Right. So there is no actual price feed for private markets. So there's no reliable price feed we can use that. So what we do is, prior to going public, it's all speculation based on supply and demand. And that facilitates some kind of price discovery for each of these projects or private companies. And then the one time that we actually feed in a price is when it goes public. And that'll be via our governance process, but we can swap that out for an oracle if those kind of oracles exist at a later point. Yeah, so architecturally, it is similar to a prediction market in terms of the decentralized prediction markets out there. But as a product, we're not really framing it as a prediction market.
And I guess the mindset that you have is very much to have this community owned and operated from the start. So can you speak to sort of the plan for launch and the way that you want to roll out the project?
Yeah, so our project is all run through a DAO. So we have the Prepio DAO. Every key decision there will be run through a decentralized governance process. So all of our token holders will have a vote on the different parameters, including which new markets we list with what parameters that they have, feeding in the final prices, but also how we use our treasury and how we move forward as a project. We still have that kind of structure where there's a multi-sig who represents the decisions of the token holders, but the token holders can always vote to change the executives. And the reason we have the executives there is so we can move faster. If we had to wait like 7 days before every decision is made, nothing would get done, I think.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. And that's a very open challenge for the DeFi space. I mean, any DAO that governs open source software faces that central issue of agency versus decentralization. So what do you see really the role of the council or the, you know, the DAO signers as, and you know, what do you want them to have agency over?
Yeah, so some decisions like short-term spending, what kind of campaigns we run, what kind of new projects we pursue, a lot of these things would be through the executive layer. But some of the more sensitive areas, such as bidding and prices or changing market parameters, these have to be done more carefully because they actually impact potentially people's finances. So we would have some kind of time lock there. So if it was done through us, it would be at some time delay so everyone could be prepared for it. Or otherwise, it's done through a governance vote.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm just sort of thinking from a user's perspective, right? So I come to Prepio, you know, I see SpaceX, the market for SpaceX, or maybe even a market for something like MetaMask. And okay, I go long on SpaceX or long on MetaMask, and then they do have an IPO or they do release a token. What happens to my position in Prepio? Is that sort of expired or does it just continue, but then the price mimics the actual price feed of the equity or the token?
Right. Good question. So we have a very focused product on the pre-public side of things. So once they've gone public, there are so many other alternatives out there for getting exposure, including the actual token itself or the actual shares itself. So I don't think it makes sense for us to compete in that area. So we're just focusing on the speculation up until it goes public.
Yeah, I like that. And I feel like with that model as well, you're going to be able to garner a really strong community around people who always feel like they're left out of these rounds. And then, you know, you see people sort of shilling it on Twitter, or you see some of the VCs that are like, hey, look, I invested in this round. The public release is happening after, at a worse price at the point that I entered. So I feel like that already has a strong attraction to a lot of people that are currently not just in crypto, but in the investment markets in general. And I guess in terms of sort of bonding the community together, you've got a tokenomic design, obviously, with a governance token. Would you be able to sort of describe the tokenomics? I know that you've put a lot of thought into this and are trying to incentivize long-term communities. So yeah, would you be able to just highlight that early stage design that you have?
Yeah. So basically with our token, we want to design it such that people are incentivized to think about how we can add value or govern a protocol, thinking about the long-term vision of the project. So a lot of projects don't have any aspect relating to that. And so you have a lot of short-term speculators making short-term decisions, and that goes against the longevity of the protocol. So we're following more of a structure similar to CoFinance with the time locks. So basically, the longer you lock up your tokens, the more voting weight you have and the more say you have in the protocol. And therefore, those votes which are weighted towards the long term will have more of a say than those that are weighted in the short term, which are the non-time locked ones. And we hope to have, by time locking for longer, you'll get boosts in some kind of liquidity mining program. And you'll also get exclusive opportunities such as like merchandise or special avatars for your profile and other kinds of gamification aspects.
Yeah, there's sort of your gaming background coming back into play with Prepio. I like that a lot. So just to be super clear, I have a Prepio governance token, and the longer I stake that in the platform, or the longer that I show sort of my support for the platform, I gain voting rights back, and I also get a higher return on my governance token. Is that sort of correct? You're incentivized and sort of given more tokens for the longer that you stake on the platform.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess in terms of the roadmap, where are we today, and sort of where do you see like the big milestones coming in the future?
Yeah, so in terms of our roadmap, we're finalizing the architectural design in terms of the tokenomics and also the smart contracts. We're hoping to launch a testnet and the Dominance token around the same time later this year. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the longer term roadmap, once we're public, we would have a decentralized front end, which you can interact with this on the blockchain. But also in the longer term, we envision that will be used as a protocol that centralized exchanges and brokers will tie into and add their own hygiene factors on top, so that, that we can reach their existing investor audiences without needing to compete on brand.
And Zave, also with Prepio, you've got another initiative going on. It's to do with NFTs. Would you be able to sort of describe that in a bit of detail?
Yeah, so it's still a work in progress, but basically we're seeing a lot of hype around these NFT profile picture projects. So you have like 10,000 different avatars with different rarities, different traits, and they're all randomly generated. But what I haven't seen is much utility around them. And so I wanted to create a project that kind of brings in some game aspects to these NFTs, but also has it related to Prepio. So what we're working on is basically these NFTs, which are humanized office buildings. And the gameplay is that you can do mergers and acquisitions with other buildings until there are only 500 left. So it's a survival of the fittest gameplay. And later on, you can imagine that, you know, the surviving NFTs would have some kind of value in the Prepio ecosystem.
Wow, I love that.
And what markets are you most excited about eventually being listed on the platform?
I'm personally really excited about all of these pre-token projects.
Mm-hmm.
Because in private companies, you'll see really massive upsides prior to IPO, but you can see way, way bigger upsides in crypto, and it moves a lot, lot faster. So in terms of maximizing your gains, I think you would find that more likely find that in the pre-token market rather than the pre-IPO market.
Yeah. And I guess one question would be, you know, there seems to be a very strong incentive on the long side backing certain projects, but who do you envision is making the markets for, I guess, Prepio, if there are a bundle of very promising early stage projects, who's going to want to make markets on those projects?
Yeah, so that's a really important consideration we made when we were designing it. So how we've designed it is that it's quite similar to the payouts for a collar option. So you have limited downside and limited upside in a particular defined market. If those market bounds change, for example, the lower and upper bound of the valuation, then we can create a new market. But everyone's trading within this defined range for a particular market. And what that allows us to do for liquidity providers is to really limit the maximum loss that they can receive, but also heavily incentivize them through three layers of rewards. So they get their trading fees, PPO rewards, and also what we call collateral farming, which is when they earn yield farming on their position, regardless of any trading that happens. So they have these three layers of rewards and limited downside. And that makes it really attractive for liquidity providers to provide liquidity to each of these markets. And since there's a lot of liquidity, that will hopefully attract a lot more traders, which will bring in more trading fees and therefore more liquidity. So we call this an LP flywheel as well.
Sure. And you imagine a large amount of sort of community engagement on that side of things as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's incentives all around for traders and LPs.
Yeah, and I guess just to continue on that sort of train of thought with the community engagement, as a community member or someone in the crypto ecosystem, how do you get involved with Prepio at this stage? And I guess, how can you start contributing to the Prepio community?
Yeah, so we even have names for our community members. So
cool.
As a regular Prepio community member, you'd be called a pregen. So that's Prepio degen. And then you can upgrade a little bit and call yourself a preacher if you're spreading the good word about Prepio. So we have a Prepio preacher program, which allows you to do all these various actions that help spread the word about Prepio. And then we have one final layer, which is precogs, which comes from that movie Minority Report. I'm not sure if you've seen it. They're basically individuals that have a psychic ability to see into the future. And basically,
I love it.
Yeah, that's for our really exclusive high tier members in our community.
Happy to be a precog, that's for sure.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. How are you sort of, I guess this is slightly off track, but how are you measuring someone's sort of like contributions? Is there Is that just sort of a decision made by yourself, or are you using software to sort of gauge that, or is it like a bounty program?
Yeah, right now we're pre-token, right? So we have this bot in our server, and it kind of allows you to earn daily rewards based on your checking in. We'll also give away rewards based on how many messages you've sent or how engaged you are in the community. And then through the pre-PO pre-chip program, each of these different actions will be given different weights, and then those rewards will be distributed later.
I love that. Well, if you're listening, definitely jump into the pre-PO Discord. We'll chuck a link down below and start working your way up that that reputation ladder. Also, Zave, just I guess, what's the long-term vision here? Do you see pre-PO expanding, and I guess where do you see it expanding to?
Yeah, well, I think it kind of makes anything that's private public. So anything that previously had a really murky valuation, we would facilitate price discovery for that. And suddenly you have these speculative markets on any private asset, really. In the longer term, we could even have real estate or any other kind of private asset.
I love that. I love that vision as well. That's great. Well, yeah, Zave, it's been a pleasure to have you on High Definition as always. I guess if we want to keep up to date with you, obviously you haven't launched yet, so I know a lot of people will be keen to sort of keep in touch and keep following. What's sort of the best avenues for that outside of the Discord?
Yeah, so we have our website, prepio.io. We also have our Twitter, prepio_io. I'm on Twitter at Xavier Eckel. And yeah, you can follow our blog as well. We'll be posting a lot of updates there, and we look forward to seeing you on our testnet.
Awesome, Zave. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining this Koji conversation. To continue the conversation offline, DM us on Twitter at @Koji_capital, or reach out to us via email, hello@Koji.capital, or jump into our Discord linked in our bio.